The scripture reading for the lesson will be out of Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma.
Well, good morning. We have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you've come out to be with us. I would ask you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians if you have not done so already. Appreciate the songs. I love that we just sang, as I always say, so happily about our death. Did a great job. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Back when, we'll see if this works or not, who knows. When Alan Burton was young, there was a movie that was out entitled Wizard of Oz. And you had to follow the yellow brick road. Is that on over there? Is that the one? You had to follow the yellow brick road. You know, it's interesting. From that standpoint, as we all know the song, we've all seen the movie, it's a great movie. But it fascinates me that there's also another colored brick road on there. What if I want to follow the red brick road? Why do I have to follow the yellow brick road? Just because some lady came down in a bubble and told her? What if I want to follow the red brick road? This morning I want to talk about walking worthy of your calling. And you know what? We're just going to leave that up there. Walking in a manner worthy of your calling. And the understanding ultimately that it is a choice that you and I make. In the Ephesians class on Thursday mornings, we've been talking about, or reading throughout the book of Ephesians, and how often it talks about walking. And Brian Weaver's mentioned this as well, this idea of how we walk, this spiritual journey that we have. In Ephesians, the second chapter, we're told in verse 10, this idea that we are to walk in good works. We are created to walk in good works. There's something, there's a purpose for us. While we are walking, the things that we are doing, they are to be done in good works. You skip over to chapter 4. And in verse 1, he talks about the fact that you need to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Walking in a manner worthy of your calling. What does that look like? Are you walking in a manner that is worthy of your calling? You skip down to verse 17. This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. What happens when you're not walking the way that you're supposed to? You open the door to everything, he says. You know, brethren, one of the most amazing things to me about being a child of God is that people will say that all the time. This is what Bob talked about a couple weeks ago, this idea of what it means to be a Christian, a true Christian. There are people that call themselves Christians all the time. There are people that talk about walking for God all the time. And the reality so often is that these verses here, verses 17 through 19, may describe their lives a little bit more. The question for you and for me is, how are we walking? The verses that were just read to us in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in verse 2. Verse 1 tells us to imitate God. Verse 2 says, walk in love as who? That's where you come in. Christ. As Christ. You think about the comparison and the walking of him. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. He goes on in this chapter, if you skip down to verse 8, he says, walk as children of light, for you were formerly darkness now, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Verse 15, don't walk as unwise men, but as wise. How are you walking? This morning I want to talk about this. What it looks like to walk with Jesus. When Jesus says, look, I want you in essence to follow the yellow brick road, and you say, you know what, the red brick road looks a lot nicer. I like red. In a very real, silly sense, there are people all the time choosing to take the other path, knowing full well which path we're supposed to be on. I know what it means to walk in a manner worthy of my calling. We all can describe that. I also know what it means to walk in a manner that's not worthy of my calling. We just read that. And so when I look at my life, I got to figure out, which path am I on? John Tabor talked about it in his prayer. Which path are you on? Only with Christ Jesus do we have the opportunity to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. Jesus, over in John, the 5th chapter, heals this man that was at a pool at Bethesda. And this is just one example of many that he does this. And as we talked about in class, so often he'll use blindness as an example to show spiritual blindness. It's the same thing when it comes to walking. Here he talks about a man who was not able to walk. He wasn't able to walk for 38 years, it says. And Jesus heals him, just like that. And he can walk. And he begins his walk with him. And time again, you see this, and people are watching this, and they're not on a spiritual walk with God whatsoever. They're worried about the fact that it's the Sabbath day. You skip over to verse or chapter 8. In verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are we walking in this light? Are you walking in the light? Over in chapter 12. Again, in verse 35, Jesus talking about how who the Son of Man is specifically is the question of verse 34. But verse 35, he says, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. It's an interesting conversation, isn't it? We talked about this many times. I am wholeheartedly believe that Legos in the dark is the most dangerous weapon of all time. In the light, you can see them very easily. At nighttime, those things will stab you. What's the difference? What happened? I can see them in the light. This is why Jesus talks about, look, the blind's going to lead the blind right into a pit. We walk around in darkness because of the ignorance of not knowing him and not knowing his word, as Ephesians just talked about in chapter 4. And it leads to anything. And people profess still to believe in God and to follow him and to be his child. Here he's telling them, look, I'm only going to be for a little while longer. You need to walk in the light. In 1 John, he goes on with that same point. You walk in the light. Some of you think you're walking in the light, and you're not, he says. You and I, as we look at ourselves, need to make sure that we are walking in this light. Now, this is where it becomes interesting to me. Over in Mark, the 16th chapter, you're talking about all this walking, and then all of a sudden it talks about Jesus and what Jesus does. He's been walking. He's been doing all these things. In verse 19, it says, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Sat down. The book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and chapter 10 and chapter 12 says, and he sat down. Jesus sat down. The great authority of who he was back where he was supposed to be. The great glorified Christ. In John the 17th chapter is what Jesus prayed for. The great glorified Christ was back. He sat down at the right hand of God. Whether we're talking from a spiritual standpoint, and this idea that you and I can walk with him is the same understanding of who he is. How you walk will determine where you sit for eternity. It will absolutely determine where you sit and how you stand before Him. It's interesting to me to talk about these subjects so often. Because the reality is, what I love so much about religion in this case, or our faith in this case, is that it's such an individualistic thing. My relationship, or where I live for eternity, is dependent solely on me. We read in class, in Luke's account, where he talks about how he killed those who did not want him to reign. They didn't want him to reign. Guess whose choice that was? Them. You and I have the same choice. Whether or not we truly want him to reign over us, whether or not we truly want to live for him, whether or not we truly want to walk in a manner that is worthy of his calling, is a choice that you and I have. There comes a point in time, though, where instead of looking at how other people should be walking, you just have to look at yourself. How are you walking? This morning, just for a minute, and I know it's not your favorite thing in the world to do, I want you just to simply examine yourself. Just you. Nobody else. How are you doing as a child of God? How are you doing? You know, you go to the doctor every once in a while. I go often. They've never asked me, how is your family doing? They want to know how you're doing. You. How are you doing? Well, Jason French isn't doing well. How are you doing? How is your walk? In the book of Revelation, there's an interesting thing that occurs in chapter 3. You have the church here at Sardis, who is the church of the living dead. They were walking around, they had a name that they were alive, but you know what? They were dead. They were dead. And he says something interesting to them in verse 4. He tells them they need to repent leading up to this. But in verse 4, he says, "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." They will walk with Jesus in victory, in white. They will walk with him in white. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, as he's talking to those in Laodicea, says, "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Your spiritual walk will determine where you sit. How you live your life will determine where you sit. We live in a time, and it's not new. I just like to use that "we live in a time" phrase, so I'm getting older, I guess. Where people make excuses for absolutely everything. Everything. On the day of judgment, I'm going to tell you, there is no excuse that is going to work whatsoever. You're not going to get a participation trophy, young people. You can't even get a C, which hurts my feelings. The opportunity is whether or not you decide that you want to have a relationship with him or not. That's it. It's your choice. It's my choice. Are you walking in a manner worthy of his calling? Of your calling? The understanding that he has called you to be far more than you can imagine. We spent this whole year talking about the fact that we are children of God. Next year, as we go forward, we're going to talk about what it means to be an heir of Christ. what it means to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. What it means, as Tyler mentioned on Wednesday night, that you're his child. Guess what? Go clean your room then. As a parent, I love that I have children, but guess what? They're going to do something. There's some work they're going to be doing. It's nice to be able to say I'm a child of God, but that means something. There's responsibility with that. And that's where we're headed. Never forget the foundation, though. You have the opportunity to be his child. I pray that you know it. I hope that you're living it. And I hope you love it. He was willing to do so much for you and for me, to give us even the opportunity to choose whether or not you want to be his child. It's a choice. He gives you the choice of whether or not you want to be with him for eternity. It's your choice. And the sad reality is, people are still going to choose not to be his child. This is all I ask you. If you never make that choice, do not be shocked on the day of judgment. That's all I ask. You know full well that it's your choice and then it's my choice. If I don't get into heaven, guess whose fault that is? Mine. It's mine. I can't even blame anybody else. It's mine. And it's yours. I encourage you, if you have not done so, to read the book of Ephesians. To understand what it means to walk with him. To understand the responsibility that it takes to be his child, but to absolutely understand the inheritance that is yours, the blessings that are yours, if you are his child. I joke about the song, I'll Fly Away, to some degree, but I'm going to tell you, I love the fact that people sing, and I pray it's true, that you understand one day when you die, or when the Lord returns, you're going to be with him for eternity. That's a choice. The invitation is extended to everyone, to all of us, to make sure that we are right with him. If you're not walking in a manner that is worthy, I encourage you to start now. Start now. If that means that you need to repent of the sins that you've committed, confess him as the Son of God that he is. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, to be redeemed, to be bought. Now's the time. If you've done those things, and you haven't been walking in the way that you should, again, start now. By his grace, mercy, and love, we all have the opportunity right now to make sure that we're right with him. If you have questions, ask them. Let us help you. If there's anything we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.